in Acts chapter 9. With God being our helper this morning, I want to preach. Starting with verse 26. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And the Bible says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how that he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. And Lord, it's just been so good to be in your house already. And Lord, we thank you for the good Sunday school hour. And Lord, the good choir singing this morning. I pray that it was a blessing. And that to you, to your name. And Lord, we just ask now for just a little while. God, you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. And that while we might preach this morning, that God, you'd be honored in everything. Most of all, that if there's somebody here lost, that gets saved. And Lord, know you as their personal Savior. Lord, then they could really understand and know what this season is all about. When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and that he is the reason for this time and for this season. And Lord, we thank you for that. There may be somebody here today that has a need. God, I pray that need would be met. And that through the word of God today, Lord, would you just help our spirit and help us in the flesh today. And that to preach what you'd have us to preach. And Lord, I pray you'd clear our mind and our thoughts today. And touch us and anoint us afresh and that with the Holy Spirit. And give us power from on high and that to preach what thus saith the word of God is today. Again, we want to tell you that we love you and we thank you. Now, God, help us. And again, we ask you to save somebody and save that sinner's nearest tale. For these sweet things, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You'll be seated today. As we look in the first part of Acts chapter 9, you find in that where the Apostle Paul meets, or where Saul of Tarsus, and that meets the Lord on the road to Damascus. Now, he's on his way down to Damascus and that to persecute the church. He's got letters and that from the Sanhedrin court and that from the high priest. It says he can go down there and bring them bound back to Jerusalem that they might try them and kill them. But you know, something strange happened and something great happened. On the way down there, the Lord rolled back heaven and shined his light on Saul of Tarsus, and Saul got saved. Listen, everybody knew who Saul of Tarsus was. Even when God spoke to Ananias and told him to go down there and lay his hands upon him that he might pray, that hid them scales would fall from his eyes, and that Paul might, Saul might receive his sight back. Even Ananias began to talk to the Lord and talked about how much of an evil man that he was and how he persecuted the church, how he had authority to do those things. But God told him in verse 15, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." Listen, God had a plan for Saul of Tarsus's life. And I tell you today, God has got a plan for your life. Amen. I may not know what it is, but I guarantee you the Lord knows. And you ought to know. And if you want to know, you can know. But then we find, as we read later on in this chapter, in verse 20, after the Apostle Paul, and that's just what I'm going to have to go with, after Paul received his sight, the Bible said in verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God." Well, he got saved, got baptized, and started preaching. You read on that the Jews wanted to kill him. They let him down in a basket over the wall of the night. And then we pick up where I began to read today. And Saul comes to Jerusalem and wants to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid. I'd have been a little afraid too if a man that had a testimony that he was out to kill the church and persecute the church. I'd have wondered about letting him into my house. I'd have wondered about letting him in into our group, into our church. I'd have wondered the same thing. Don't you look in verse 27. "But Barnabas took him in. And brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to preach for just a little while, having a thought that if we were asked folk around us that if we knew Jesus, what would they say about us? If we ask folk around us, if somebody asked your friends, if you knew the Lord, or if you lived a Christian life, what would they say about you? If you look right here, we find a man that by the name of Barnabas, he was willing to step out and say there's something different about this man named Saul than what he used to be. What would folks say about us? Well, if we were put on trial, could they call enough witnesses or have enough evidence and that to say that we're a Christian? You know, that word Christian means to be Christ-like. If you look in the book of Acts, you find that the Bible tells us, I believe it is, in chapter 11, that it was at Antioch where the disciples were first called Christians. And so, listen, being saved or being a Christian goes further than being saved. I believe there's a lot of folks saved and they're going to get in, but they're not living a Christian life. They're not living like a believer should live. And so I ask the question this morning, church, are we guilty of being a Christian? Are we guilty of being a Christian? Barnabas stood up and said, there's something different about Paul. Number one, just some very simple things that would make us guilty of being a Christian. First of all, there's got to be a time of salvation. There must be a time. If you look in verse 27, look what Barnabas said about Paul. He said that he had seen the Lord in the way. He had seen the Lord. He had had a personal experience with the Lord. Have you ever had a personal experience with the Lord? I'm talking about a time where you found yourself and that being convinced of your sin. I'm talking about where God was knocking on your heart and he was trying to convict you of your sin. If you go back in Acts chapter 9, you'll find what did the Lord tell the Apostle Paul? He said, it's hard for you and that to kick against the pricks. I don't believe that on the road to Damascus was the first time that God had ever dealt with the Apostle Paul. He had been kicking before then. I believe he knew there was something different about that man Stephen over there when he held them coats and he seen that man, the Bible said that his face shined like an angel. Listen, and he's holding the coats, then that was stoning him. And I believe that God was doing something in Saul of Tarsus' life. Is God trying to do something in your life this morning? Is God trying to show you that you're lost and undone, and he's trying to convince you of your sin and convict you that you're a sinner? Hey, listen, there has to be a time, a friend, first of all, that God come and knocked on that heart. Hey, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come and sup with him and he with me. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that I had a day back under where God convinced me and convicted me of my sins. Amen. And then I got converted. And so here is the Apostle Paul. Something changed in his life. I'm talking about, do you have a day? Now, listen, if you're going to be found guilty and that of being a Christian, you got to have a day where something happened. I'm not talking about where you got baptized. I'm not talking about when you come to an altar and cried. I'm not talking about signing a card. I'm not talking about preacher patting you on the back, telling you that you're saved. Hey, listen, I'm talking about when God come in your heart and made a change. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Boy, ain't you glad for that day. Amen. Boy, we all ought to be thanking God if you're saved today that you're not going to die and go to hell. Listen, in your sin, the way that God found you that day or that night. Hey, you know something? We ought to talk about that day. Listen, every time that you find Paul in a situation, he's got people before him. Listen, he wanted to tell about that day that something changed in him. He wanted to tell when God met him on the, he met God on the road to Damascus and what God done for him down there. I'll never forget that night that I got saved. Boy, I hope you don't ever forget that night. I'll never forget that there was a change made. Listen, I'm telling you, I can look back and see the change now. Hey, if I had some friends that I ought not to have had and was doing some things I ought not to have been doing, and listen, even at 14 years old, but I can look back and see within the first couple of weeks that God changed my heart and changed my mind and just changed some things that needed fixed. Amen. Why? Because I trusted Him. But do you have a day? If we're going to find you guilty of being a Christian, you're going to have to be able to have a testimony of the day that you got saved. What if we put you on trial and asked you to tell about that day that you got saved? What would you say about that day or that night? What could you tell about how that God convicted you? What could you tell and now how that God changed you and made you different? You say, well, preacher, I got saved when I was young. And listen, that's always been a tough thing. I know for children and for teenagers and things on that get saved young. It ain't like, listen, that man's dying, going to the same devil's hell that the worst sinner out there, the worst drunk, the worst heart, any of them was going to. But when they get saved young, listen, that dramatic change that happens in that drunkard's life is not necessarily seen in that young man's life. But you know what God has done? He has saved them from that life that they could have been into. And that's what's kept them out of that situation. I believe it was the Lord that kept me out of some situations because He saved me. Listen, if you go back and you look, you'll find that Saul of Tarsus and that quit. He quit persecuting the church. He quit chasing the church. And he went preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go over in Mark chapter 5 and find where Legion met the Lord Jesus. And what did he do? You remember what Legion was? He was naked and he was out there running around in the tombs where dead people lived and he would cut himself. I mean, he hollered all the time. I believe he hollered because he didn't have no peace. But listen, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said when they come back over there and they seen Legion, I said that the Lord had him seated and clothed and in his right mind. He was different what he used to be. What if we put you on trial? What if we just simply asked you to tell about your salvation? You know, I preach a message on the story I got to tell. The only story I got to tell is what happened to me one Sunday night when I was 14 years old. That's the story I've got to tell. What's your story today? What can you tell about salvation? I'm asking you, if we put you on trial, would there be enough witnesses? Would there be enough evidence for you to give that there was a day that you got saved? I can tell you, I didn't know much about salvation even growing up in church, but I knew this. I was lost and I was dying to go to hell and I needed to get saved. I know that much. And I know that if I asked God to save me, I know He'd do it. Now you say, is it truly that simple? It's truly that simple. But listen, if folk looked at your life, would they say, boy, there's a change that was made in them. They're different than the world. These people right here, this group of people, they're different. This person is different from the rest of the world. Now, there's a lot of people, they make a profession, but that's as far as it goes. They come and they might cry at an altar, but they've never asked Jesus to save them. They come and they join the church. They might get baptized. That don't make you no more saved, friend, than anything else does. The Bible talks about in Isaiah chapter 4, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, said, we'll eat our own bread and our own apparel, only let's be called by thy name to take away our reproach. There's a lot of people, they carry the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they've never been changed. They've made a profession, but they don't have a possession in their heart. And hey, you got to be changed. And that comes through salvation. If we put you on trial, put me on trial, what would be said. But then verse 27, talk about not only how the Apostle Paul, how Saul of Tarsus had seen the Lord in the way, but then he had spoken to him. Boy, I'm glad God speaks to your heart. Ain't you? I'm glad he speaks. But then that he said that he proclaimed that how he preached boldly. And I know that God don't call every man to preach. I understand that. But I do believe that he wants every one of us to tell about him. How do you know that? The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me read that again. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You ever tell anybody about the Lord? Now, I started to ask this question. As I was studying, I was thinking about asking the question, have you ever led anybody to the Lord? Now, let me say this. Not everybody you tell about God is going to get saved. It's our job just to tell. It's our job to warn. It's our job to encourage. And tell you know what was it that the Apostle Paul said at one time in the book of Colossians when he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, warning every man. What are we warning about? Hey, there is a death coming. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this to judgment. We understand that everybody's going to die. Jesus can save you from that death. Amen. Hey, listen, hellfire's coming. If you're unsaved, you're going to die and go to hell. But I'm glad that I got saved from that thing. Hey, what are we to warn about? Hey, we're to warn that death is coming. Hey, judgment is coming one day after a while. You realize that, don't you? There is a day of judgment that's going to come. I mean, it's coming. Friend, it's out there somewhere. You're going to stand before God. And we need to warn folk that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I mean, if we would just tell them. But if we look for folk, could we find any that you've told? Couldn't we find any that you've handed the track out to? If we went to your family, your lost family, what would they say? If we went to the folk that you go to school with, what would they say? If we went, would they say that you're different? I always enjoyed being different after I got saved. It never bothered me one bit to go to school and let folk know that I was a Christian. Never did bother me. As a matter of fact, and you think I'm crazy, I enjoyed being different. I did. I don't know if God put that in my heart or what happened. But it's never bothered me to be different. It never has. And some of you think that's a good thing, preacher, because you are different. Amen. You know, normal's only relative, ain't it? Normal's only what you're used to. So listen, I've been different most of my life. But look, if we went to your friends on the job site or at school and asked them, have they ever told you about Jesus, what would the answer be? I'm not telling you, friend, that you're going to win them every one, but I'm telling you, you ought to strive to. And here Barnabas, he steps up to the plate and he says, Saul over here, there's something different about him. There's something different about him. I'll testify to the fact he's preaching. He met God in the way over there and he changed him. I'll testify on his behalf. There's something different about this fellow called Saul. What would folk say about you? Do we talk about him? Do we talk about the blessings that he has given us? Sometimes I like to just talk about him. You get around a bunch of lost folk and just talk about him, how good he's been. And you don't even have to talk about him saving you. I'm just talking about how good he's been. And boy, sometimes I'll open my door up and put a little wedge in there. And boy, you begin to talk about how good God's been, how he's blessed you, and how he's took care of some things. Boy, I'm telling you, they'll pick up on some things every now and again. I'm asking you, if we went and looked for a witness, would we find any? What about in your own home? Husbands and wives, what would you say about each other and your Christianity? What would you say? Say, you're getting personal. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I am. It is very personal. Because God expects us to live for Him. God expects us to serve Him. God expects us to tell others and that about the wonderful love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for them. He didn't leave us just standing. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. We've turned into keepers of the aquarium instead of being fishers of men. We honestly have done it. We've got saved folk in. It just don't stop right here. It goes out there. And by the way, I'm preaching to me just as much as I'm preaching to you. Number three, how much do we spend in time of the things of God? What are you talking about? I'm talking about how much. Now I'm talking about if we brought somebody up here and had them testify about you and your Christianity, what would they say about your daily Bible reading? You say, well, nobody sees me reading my Bible. Okay. All right, let's do something that folk can't see. How much would they say about that you spend in attendance at church? So, well, I'm here this morning. I'm proud of you too. Amen. Huh? Listen, I believe if you really got saved and you really love God, like you say you do and the way that you think you do, I believe you'd be here. And I believe you'd be here and be faithful to the Lord's house. Hey, you'd be ready and apt to learn. Boy, we hit a stump there. Let me put my glasses on. Hey, I believe you ought to be here. I believe the Word of God teaches us to be here. According to the book of Hebrews, He says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But we ought to assemble more and more and more as we see the day approaching. Amen. That's why Sunday school, and I encourage you to come to Sunday school, is very important. The Word of God is very important to learn and to study. Say, preacher, it's so boring. The Word of God, there's something wrong in your heart if you believe that book is boring. Amen. I was thinking about this book this morning as I was standing in the kitchen in there and waiting for the broadcast to come on. And I'd been in the study some, and I always like to make sure that the broadcast comes on at the right time and all those things. And once the choir gets done singing, and I just turn it off and go back to the study. I can't stand to hear myself on the radio. I can't. I don't even like to hear myself talk, let alone preaching. And I lost my place. Amen. Oh, I was standing out there. Here we go. I got it now. Whew, man. I'm getting old, Brother Jeff. I know it's going to get me eventually, all that fun I was making. But at least I was standing in the kitchen this morning, and I was sitting in there thinking about how inspired this book is. I mean, God breathed in this. I mean, the Bible tells us it's inspired. But listen, God breathed in that book. He breathed life into this book right here. And we think it's boring, and we think that there's not much to it. Hey, listen, there's life in this book. And there's direction in this book. And there's peace in this book. And joy and contentment in this book. And God's way is found in this. Hey, it's not a boring book, man. We're studying the book of Joshua on Wednesday night. You're going to talk about getting excited here in a little bit. We got to that first chapter the other day. And God was giving him courage. Courage to go. Courage to fight. And I mean, over and over and over again in the book of Joshua chapter 1, it was courage after courage after courage. Why? Because he knew he was going to have to face the battle. God knows what you need when you need it. But if you don't ever open this book up, you ain't never going to get it. Hey, how much time do we spend in the Word of God? You know, in the book of John, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How are you going to know how to keep his commandments if you don't ever read that book? How you going to know? So, preacher, you got all the time in the world. Some days. Some days, if you follow me, you think that I was the laziest fella that you ever met. And then other days, you couldn't keep up with me. I mean, there's days that my feet, when I roll out of bed early in the morning and my feet hit the ground, I'm not slowing down till I eat supper and come in. And sometimes I'm still in the study or making broken or whatever, going to my husband, whatever. And then there's some nights that I don't slow down till I get in bed. It's just the way it is. As one fellow said, it's feast or famine. That's the way it is in pastoring sometimes. But how much time do we spend in the things of God? Say, just a little time in this book. Set aside some time, whether in the morning or in the evening, on lunch break, read your Bible. How much time do we spend in prayer? I'm asking you, does folks see us pray? Do they know that we pray? Mom and daddies, if we brought your kids in and had them testify about your prayer time, what would they say? Mama told me the other day, I was talking to her and I was talking to her about somebody that we both know, and we got both of them on our prayer list. And Mama said, well, good, I'm glad you told me that. I'll take her off my prayer list and quit praying for her. Now, my mom's done that for years. She's had that prayer list for years and years. As long as I remember, she's had that prayer list and spent time in prayer. I'm just asking you, if we brought somebody up, what would they say? Barnabas testified for Saul of Tarsus. Something different. How about our separation out of the world? Huh? How about our separation? If we brought somebody up here that knows you, would they say that you're separated out of the world or that you're worldly? Well, what was he said in Romans 12? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed in the newness of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Are we out of the world? If we go out in the world, does folk know that there's something different about us, either by the way that we dress or by the way that we talk? By the way, you shouldn't dress like the world. Say amen right there. Amen. Boy, it's weak, church. You shouldn't dress like the world. Hey, listen, you need to get some things covered up and some things that are modest. I'm not only talking to women, I'm talking to men. Listen, y'all know me. I'll preach that just as well in July as I do now. Amen. That's what they say. You preach against dressing wrong in December and preach against Santa Claus in July. Amen. Y'all will catch that here in just a little bit. Folk were able to look at us. So there's something a little different about them people. You have a smile on your face. I know that we're not going to smile every day all the time, but there will be something different about us. I had a girl ask me at the grocery store the other day. Now, of course, I had on suit and tie and had that fedora hat on. And she said, boy, you're dressed awful nice. She's a young lady. That's important right there, okay? That's very important when I said that. But she noticed that there was something a little different about me. There's something a little different. I've told you a story before. This fella, when I was working public job, I was subcontracting in the facility, and listen, I had met him for the first time, and me and him was talking, and it didn't take him long to pick up on the fact that I saved. And he said, I'm going to go just a little step further. He said, I believe you're a preacher. I said, you got it right. Folk ought to be able to tell something a little different about. Whether it's by our dress or whether it's by our speech, not only our clean speech, but by the very fact that we're talking about Him. I know that we're not going to talk about Him 24 hours every day, 7 days a week. I understand that and know that, but we ought to talk different than the world does. What did they tell Peter over there when they got him out there next to the fire? What did they tell Peter? They said to Peter, you're one of his. You're one of his disciples. You're one of him. And Peter's over here denying it. And here's what they said. Your speech bewrayeth you. That means it betrays you. He said, the way you're talking is different than the way we talk. You're talking like one of his disciples. Your speech ought to betray you. If we brought somebody up here and say, well, what about their Christianity? They ought to say, yep. And people talk a little different than the world does. They dress a little different than the world does. They got different friendships. Hey, listen, they're not friendly or have a friendship in the world. How do where they run with them? I said, many boys I used to work with, they's as worldly could be, they's lost and undone. And let me say this, sinners are going to do what sinners do. Amen. Sinners are going to be sinners. Do you know that? That's what they do. Sinners sin. But listen, there's some boys that I worked with years ago, and I believe I could still call them today if I had to, and they'd come help me. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, they're just good old boys. They just needed Jesus. And you know what I tried to do? Tried to show them love and tried to show them kindness. They ought to be able to see something different in us. Not that we fell in love with the world, because the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. But I will tell you this, number five, and last of all, that it does matter about the love that we do show. Do you know that? This dying, lost and dying world, we'll be able to see love in us. The love of the Lord Jesus. Take your Bible this morning and go over to the book of Luke chapter 6. Go book of Luke chapter 6. I want you to look at something in Luke chapter 6. And look in verse 27. Well, let me back up to verse 26. Luke 6. Is that what I wanted? Boy, I'm getting as bad as Jeff over here. I'm telling you, not knowing where I ought to be at. Because, man, life, this ain't even looking like nothing that I need, that's for sure. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 10. Excuse me. Luke 10. Luke 10. And look in verse 25. Luke 10 and verse 25. Man, life, I can't even get in the right book. I went to John. No wonder it didn't read right. Luke 10. And y'all ought to know that this is about the Good Samaritan over here. But I want you to look in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law, how readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? See, we like to justify ourselves a lot of times, don't we? About some things we do or don't do. We want to justify ourselves. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And perchance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now we're talking about two religious men right here. You've got a priest and you've got a Levite. You've got the priest who enacted and done the sacrifice in the temple. You have the Levite who was the worker in the temple itself. Listen, those men ought to know God. Those men ought to know God better than anybody else that come down that road that day. Those men should know God. They should have known the love of God, the compassion of God. But yet the Bible says, both of them, that when they looked on him, that they passed by on the other side. Somebody that had the name of Christian, or let me put it like this, of being religious, they walked on by and didn't help. But the Bible said, But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him, and bound up his wounds, and poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he parted, let me stop right here and say this. Listen, that man got down there in the ditch, got him out, put him on his own beast, took him to a motel, paid for the room at the motel, and then stayed all night, and that to make sure that he was took care of. Now, ain't that what your Bible says? Did you read that? And he went to him, bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine. So he put medicine on him, put the balm of Gilead on him that could help him, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Hey, let me say this. Sometimes showing love and helping people is going to cost you. Going to cost you time, and sometimes it's going to cost you money. Sometimes there's folk out there, a pat on the back ain't going to help them. They're hungry. They, some folk, hungry. And if you find them and see them, hey, you just don't tell them, be warm and be fed and go on your way. It's our responsibility to see that they're took care of. You say, well, they're in that position for this reason or that reason. I don't care why they're there. You know, this Samaritan right here never did step over and ask that fella how he got in the shape that he was in. We, a lot of times, as church and as Christians, especially independent Baptists, want to know why they're in the shape that they're in. Sometimes the reason they're in the shape they're in has nothing to do with you needing to help them. If they're hungry, they're hungry. Feed them. I've been guilty of saying this over the years, and for lost folk, it really don't ring true. You know, we want to be concerned about, and listen, I think we need to be a wise church with God's money. That's not what I'm saying when I say these things. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I've said it before, I think I would rather miss it 9 times out of 10 and get it right that one time. And I'd rather miss it all them other 9 times. Thinking that I was doing good and doing right. I believe the Lord, and I'm trying to get this right so that you'll understand. I believe as long as we're taking what we know and trying to help somebody that is down, it's okay. God wants us to. God wants us to love on folk and see to their needs. I'm talking about lost folk right here, okay? I'm talking about lost folk. Now say, folks, so just hang on now. I ain't done yet. But listen, this old fella was stripped. He was beat down. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a thing. And here, that Samaritan, he comes to where he was and took care of him. Sometimes it's just going to cost us to take care of some folk. And like I say, if you ain't got the money to handle it, you call me. I may not have it, but we'll get it. Amen. Listen, we'll take care of it. Take your Bible and go back to the book of Luke chapter 6. Go back to Luke chapter 6. Boy, this is where I needed to be. Man, I must have been in Mark or something the last time. Look in Luke chapter 6, and this ought to help you. Now, I'm talking about if we called somebody up here to testify about your Christianity, would they ever say that you helped somebody? That you ever showed the love of God in your life to the lost and dying world? Look at Mark 6. Now look in verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Boy, that's tough, ain't it? And him that taketh away the cloak, thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as he would that, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. There we find the golden rule, don't we? For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Look ye there. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. What have folks said about us? Are we merciful to sinners? Do you know that you just show them a little kindness? And maybe giving, feeding somebody when they need a little food, or helping along the way when maybe somebody's a little down and a little sick. I just showing that love and that kindness. And they say you might take them a $20 bill over there and give it to them. By the way, sometimes 20 will go a long way to somebody that ain't got nothing. Amen. And they say, listen, don't. They say, hey, I'll get it paid back just as soon as I can. Hey, you say, don't you worry about that. It's took care of. Hey, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. Love them. Showing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about one to another? What about showing love one to another? John 13, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Do we love one another, church? Do we show love one to another? You know, folk can see that. The world out there can see whether or not we love one another. We all know churches right now. We all know, most of us, I'd say 99% of us, know some churches that are known for trouble. I mean, if I ask some of you, name some churches that are known for trouble, and you could probably rattle some of them that are known for trouble. Did you know that not only do you know that they're known for trouble, but you know that there's some out there in that lost and dying world that knows that them churches are known for trouble? Do you understand what I'm getting at right now? They know whether or not we got love one for another. They know whether or not that we're showing love one to another. He said in Romans chapter 12, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We ought to not only tell one another that we love each other, but we ought to show it. Whether it's during trials, whether it's just a kind word to help somebody, whatever the need is, we just show that love. Sometimes it is simply just looking over faults. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of 1 Peter, it talks about having fervent charity. Now, by the way, charity is different love. It's love in action. And he says to have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Not that we're not going to preach on sin, and not that we ain't going to correct it when it's needed, but you know, sometimes charity, will just that love that you have, we'll just let some things slide sometimes till folk learn some things. Kinds of lets us look over folks' faults, don't it? Why? Because we love one another. If love is preeminent, then listen, that fault I ain't near as big as it is when love ain't preeminent. If we brought somebody up here at Noji, what would they say about your Christianity? What would they say about my Christianity? Would they say, that feller or that lady lives like a Christian? They may not even know how to say that you live like a Christian, but they just say they something different about them folk right there. They just something different about them. They always talking about this feller Jesus. They're always trying to get me saved. I was in a facility the other day doing a little work a couple of weeks ago, and they heard this new feller, and now, he don't exactly believe like I do, but I believe that old boy's saved. Every time I look down from that man lid, he has a smile on his face. And he was doing a job that there ain't no way that I'd want to do. And he was just smiling all the time. Something different about that boy. Something different about him. Like I say, man, him don't gin home on some beliefs, but I believe he's probably going to get in. There's something different about him. What would folks say about us? Barnabas said, let me tell you about Saul over here. He got saved. He met the Lord in the way. And he started preaching. And there's something different about him. What would folk say about us? Let's bow our heads, church. Man, let's give us a verse of invitation. What would folk say? Would they say that you're a Christian? Would they say that there's something different? Or would they say that, boy, I didn't even know nothing about that. I didn't even know that they went to church. I didn't even know that they professed to be a Christian. Well, they're just like everybody else. They talk like everybody else. They act like everybody else. I didn't know there was anything different about them. What would be said about you? What would be said about me? Church, if we're going to win anybody for Christ, and if we're going to go on and we're going to go further, listen, we got to be different. We just got to be different than this world. And those were just a few things that make us different. First thing, most of all, though, friend, you got to be saved. You got to know that you're going to heaven. You got to have that testimony and that assurance of salvation. Do you know today might be your day? Let me phrase that. Today is your day. And that to come and get saved. Would you like to be saved? If you've never been saved, you can slip out of that pew. Fellas, y'all get ready. Just go ahead and start playing when you get ready. Listen, if you've never been saved, that'd be a good day for you to come. But listen, maybe you need to come and draw close. Maybe you need to come and draw close today and say, I've not been living like I should. I want you to come, draw close to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help right now during this invitation. Would you move? Would you speak to hearts? I believe you've already spoke to some. And I pray that you're dealing with hearts right now. There may be some folk that needs to come. And Lord, they may need to draw close. But most of all, I ask you this morning, if there's somebody that needs to come and get saved, that they'd come and get saved this morning. And Lord, would you help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name?